you came tonight to hear one of those fiery preachers, you know, that shouts and jumps and runs and climbs on the chairs and spits and slobbers all over you when he preaches, I'm not one of them. I am quiet, but I hope I can give you a word tonight that you can take home with you. I want to give you something that can make you successful in life. You young people need to listen real close, because I'm going to talk about some men in the Bible that they really messed up, and the decisions they made in their lives affected the whole world, affected not only them and their families, but it affected us today as well. And so this morning I gave you something to shout about. You that weren't here, you did have that on video, didn't you? Okay, it's on video. If you want to get it and listen to it, it has to do with your future. And your future is not very long now. It's very short. We have a very short time. I'm 82, and I think I'm going to maybe see Jesus come. Okay? And if you get a hold of that, you'll see why. But tonight, I'm going to talk about what the Lord has given me. And I might just talk about these things rather than reading them all to you, because you've all read them many times. You've read Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, haven't you? And you know what's in there, right? And I want to show you the failures here. You see, right now, as short as time is, the devil's going to work real hard. And he's going to come and tempt you. He's going to try everything he can to get you to give up. And in the last days, there's going to be a falling away. I hope that none of you fall away from the church and from God. Many people today are falling away. People are becoming lukewarm and cold in the church. And some of the church is just activities. People go because they feel guilty if they don't. It's not because they really love God and are serving God with all their heart. It's just because it's the thing to do. And if I don't do it, people are going to think I'm not spiritual. Well, you may not be. Anyway, we have Adam. He was the first man, right? God came along and he created Adam. Well, I'm going to go back here. A lot of people, we separate God from God and God. We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Creator was not God the Father. The Creator was God the Son, according to the Bible. And so our God in this earth that formed us and formed man in the Garden of Eden was Jesus, the Son. He wasn't called Jesus then. He was called Jesus later when he had to come and rescue us from what Adam caused to happen. Okay, he formed Adam. And this was not the first man he was the first man, formed man, that was in the garden. But there was another creature that was created by Jesus that was in the garden before Adam. And we see him still in the garden when Jesus forms Adam. And he's the one that came and tempted Eve. Why did he come and tempt Eve and not come and tempt Adam? I believe it's because he knew that if he tempted Adam, Adam would probably reject him right off. Because God had told Adam he had dominion and authority over everything that moved on the earth. Every creeping thing. And certainly Lucifer was a creeping creature, right? And if he'd have come to Adam, Adam would have probably rejected him. Turned him away, because that's what God had commanded. But he came to Eve. You notice that? And he talked to Eli. Now, ladies, I want you to just listen real close. He came to Eve. You see, Eve had never been commanded not to eat of the tree in the garden of knowledge of good and evil. He told Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil before he ever formed Eve. And so he came to Eve because he thought, maybe I can get her to eat of the fruit. And what would happen? She ate of the fruit. What happened? Nothing. They didn't find themselves naked. They were not embarrassed. Nothing happened. The fruit was good, and it was good to eat. She could have probably eaten that fruit all day long. But Adam couldn't, because it was the disobedience of the command that brought sin. It wasn't the fruit. The fruit had nothing to do with it. God said, don't eat of it. Eve gave him. And I think it's because Adam saw that nothing happened to Eve, so he ate of the fruit. And then all hell broke loose, didn't it? Sin passed on to all men, all generations of men. All of our problems today are not due to Adam, okay? They're due to what we do, decisions we make. And we see this decision that was made affected everybody that's ever been born on the earth. All men and women were born in sin. We were all born in sin because of what Adam did in the garden, because he didn't listen to God. He didn't stay true. You know, at any time when this serpent was tempting Eve, he could have said, stop. That's it. Stop right there. Get out of the garden. Leave Eve alone. But he didn't take his authority. See, he had authority over every creeping thing on the earth, but he didn't take his authority. And that's what we want to talk about here, is taking our authority. See, we all have authority, and we need to use that. We have authority, and I'll get into that a little later, but Adam had this authority. He didn't take it, so they had to leave the garden, as we know, and sin came upon the earth. He was not the only one that failed. You go, Noah. Noah was given the same covenant. God made the same covenant with him that he made with Adam. And why did he do that? God was looking. You see, when this happened, Jesus, our God, lost all control in the earth. He had no power in the earth because, why? He had given it to man. And man gave it to Lucifer. Lucifer became the god of this world. Okay? And so, Jesus, our God, he had to find a man that he had to work through a man, because man had authority. And so he looked for a man. He looked for Noah. He found Noah. Noah, after what? Almost 2,000 years, not quite, still was serving God. Okay? He trusted God. And so Jesus came to him and made this covenant that he made with Adam. What happened to Noah? His son, Dan. I don't know, it's Ham, not Dan. Ham. Almost rhymes. He came and he committed sodomy with his father, when his father got drunk. After he got out of the ark and they had been saved from all this, he planted a vineyard, and the vineyard grew up, and he had all these grapes, and they went out and stomped these grapes, and they made some wine, and Noah got drunk. And while he was drunk, his son came into him and committed sodomy. Sodom and Gomorrah came from Ham. His lineage was the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, if you go on through the Bible, God keeps looking, Jesus keeps looking, and he finds a man that he could trust. And he had to have somebody that would obey him. Adam didn't, No, it didn't. So now he's looking for another man. Who does he find? Abraham. He found Abraham, and you know the story of Abraham, how God told him to take his family and leave his home. He was in Iraq, in Ur of the Chaldees, and God called him out of that and said, I'm going to take you down to a land, and I'm going to show you this land. I'm going to give it to you, and wherever your feet march and step on, it's yours. And we know the story of how he left his home, and he came down to Canaan, and he came into the land that God had given. He never failed God. He always trusted God. And whatever God told him to do, he would do. So God one day said, you know, he had two sons. And well, I'll say one failure he had that has affected us. Okay. So be careful. It wasn't that he lost trust in God, but he listened to his wife, Sarah, and she told him to take her maid. Now, he married. It was all right to have more than one wife back then, okay? The law hadn't been given yet, so they could have more than one wife and not sin. So, but he took Hagar, and he had a son. You all know his name, right? Ishmael. And Ishmael, God told Hagar, your son is going to grow up, and he's going to be a great man, but he is going to be a wild man. And his hand's going to be against every man's hand. And every man's hand's going to be against him, right? And that's what he told her. And we see that today, don't we? Where does Ishmael's family live? He told her they're going to live among their brethren. Abraham had this other son called Isaac. Now, Isaac was not the last son Abraham had, and Sarah was not his last wife. He had many other children. But Isaac was born, and he told Hagar, your son is going to live among his brothers all their life. And where do the Islamic people live today, the Arabs? They live right around Israel, don't they? Just like we talked this morning, everything that God tells us happens. And that happened, and it's still happening today. And we see that the Islamic people are against everybody, right? Even themselves. They'll kill their own people if they have to. And they're killing people all over the world. And we heard this morning that that is going to come to an end. Pretty quickly, it's going to come to an end. They are going to be dealt with by God Himself. But let's go on here. We want to talk about your dominion. Or, you know, even another man, Moses. You remember Moses? Great man. He went in and obeyed God and delivered the children of Israel and brought them out. And they marched across the Red Sea on dry land. And God said, Moses, take the children of Israel across the Jordan. What did he do? He sent some spies over there. He sent 12 spies to spy out the land to see if it was good. And, of course, they all come back. And 10 of them came back with a report, the land is good. It's great, but it has giants. And we're like, we are kind of like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're small. We can't go in there. We can't defeat them. And sometimes we look at this world only. And we look at the problems around us. And we think those things are just too big for us. You know, we can't overcome that. It's too much. You may come up with a disease or whatever and you think, I can't overcome that. And Moses, had a decision to make. And he had two others, Joshua and Caleb, that came back, and they said, exactly like these 10 men are telling you, And it's good land. But they said, we can go in and we can take it. Now, God had given Moses a command to go in and take the land. But instead, he listened to those 10 men. Because of that, all of the children of Israel over the age of 20 had to die. They never went in to the promised land. They spent 40 years in a desert roaming around. Moses never went in to the promised land. Why? Because he made the decision not to go and not to obey God, not to do what God had told him to do. And he didn't get to go in. This can happen to us in life if we're not careful. As we are thinking about, I want you to look over in the New Testament now. We got, you know, Jesus, he came because way back there before the world was made, before he created the earth, he and his Father had a meeting. And the Holy Spirit, they all got together around the throne and they made a decision of what was going to happen in the future. Now, Jesus, I suppose, before he ever made things, he knew what was going to happen. But he knew that he was going to have to come down here and die. And God knew it because God told the prophets about all this, how Jesus would come and die on the cross and all of that. Okay, when he came, he walked for 3.5 years with his disciples. Well, not that long, about 3.5 years with his disciples. He lived 33.5. That's what I was thinking. Anyway, he walked and he taught them. He taught them all the things that they needed to know. But there's one thing before he left in 16th chapter of Matthew. You might want to mark that down, 16. It's very well known verse. You know what he did? And this is to you and I as well. This is talking to us. To his disciples, he told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. We are the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. We need to remember that. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. He gave his disciples, he gave to the church, he gave to us dominion and authority. Now, at that moment, they didn't have it because, well, Jesus had died and they had accepted him. They had dominion and authority, and that's what he's trying to teach. And we, because we have accepted the Lord, we have that same dominion and authority that they had. That's something we must remember in life, because if we don't, we're going to fail. Because the devil is going to come against you. And if you go over in Matthew, the 18th chapter, and verse 18 and 19, he restates this. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Okay? And he goes on to say, if two or three agree on earth touching anything, it shall be done. We have authority. Okay, and that's what I want to get across tonight. We have authority. We have the same authority that Adam had in the garden. Okay, I'll show you that over in Ephesians. Ephesians, you got a Bible, right? If you don't, you got a phone. Most people go to church now and you want to open the Bible and all these phones come out. That's as good, I guess it's just as good a word on the phone as it is in the book. But I like the book. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay. This, to me, is one of the most exciting portions of Scripture that I read in the Bible. Because this shows me just exactly how much authority I have and how much power that God has given unto us as a church. And if we're not careful, we'll make the same mistake that Adam made and Noah made, Moses made. And we won't use that authority. When the devil comes to tempt us, he comes to tempt your children, gentlemen. Now, he gave it to Adam, didn't he? Okay. In the family, the husband has the authority. God given him the authority to take care of his children. He's there to protect his children. He's there to protect his wife. He's there to protect his family. And if we don't take the authority we have, we can lose our children. Okay? The devil can come in and tempt him. He's always out there in the schools. He's out there tempting your children with drugs and with... I mean, our schools are bad now, aren't they? Oh, I mean, when I went to school, they didn't have, we had, I think they put some aspirin in Coke or something at one time. But there were no drugs around. And if they had been, the teachers would not have let my, you, man, I tell you, if we said a bad word, you know, it didn't matter if it was in the Bible or not. You know, you say, oh, I said that. But, you know, mom and dad would have really used that belt on you. The teacher would have washed your mouth out. My teacher, one of my teachers, we had one room schoolhouse, and one of my teachers had a rubber hose. That's what she used. When I got in high school, of course you're older in high school, you say they don't spank you. Well, our coach had a paddle, and all the guys, they dreaded that paddle. I never got it used on me, but I probably should have. No, I wasn't a bad kid. But today, there's so many more temptations in our schools. In our homes, there are a lot of temptations. How many parents are on drugs and alcohol? How much temptation is out there? And you especially, as Christians, see, the devil knew if he could get Adam to fail, he would become the god of this world. And he knows if he can get you to fail here today, he just makes more progress in trying to destroy the church and your family. So we have got to be conscious all the time of what the devil too. We've got to see how he works and resist him at all times. It says here in Ephesians 1:17, talking about Jesus here, our God, that the God, well, he's talking about the Father here, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Okay. That's the first thing. We must get to know our God. Right? We must have wisdom. We must have revelation of who He is. And the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We must realize that He's given us authority. and realize what we have in Him, the power we have in Him, and that is exceedingly greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. He's invested His power in us, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Where's Jesus? He's the right hand of His Father. Okay. He went back to heaven where He came from and sat down at the right hand of His Father in that position of authority. Because He has that authority, then He said, therefore, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go ye. So He gives us that power. He says, go in that power. And so, and make disciples. And that's what we should do. Far above, He's placed in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hey, He has all of this dominion and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head. Amen? Hey, you know that you read this? Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He's the head. I think I'm the little toe. But we're the rest of the body. We're Jesus' body in the earth. And then, now that's exciting, isn't it? But there's something even more exciting. You read the next chapter. Verse 6, it says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are we? At the right hand of God. In Jesus. Far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet. We're the feet. Lucifer, we must keep him under our feet in our lives. Because if you're tempted and you fail, it's not going to just affect you. It could change the course of history. Your decisions are going to determine what your future is. And we don't know, God may have plans for you to become a missionary somewhere in the world to win thousands of people to Christ. And if you don't listen, that will change. That future will no longer be if you don't obey God. Your life affects a lot of people. I was thinking about if my wife and I, and we've spent 53 years in missions, if we had not gone to the mission field, there'd be thousands of people that would not have found Christ. There would be many churches. There would be no full gospel churches. There may not be any in Mexico. I helped form the churches of Mexico, and there's 180 churches. There wouldn't have been any full gospel churches in Nicaragua, nor in Honduras. Those pastors may never have gotten saved. And those people in those churches may never have gotten saved. What we decided to do, if we had not decided to go, You ever see that movie, It's a Wonderful Life? And the angel shows, what was his name? I know it's James Stewart, but, showed him that if he had not been born, the whole city would have changed, and a lot of those people's lives would have been changed. And he was wishing he hadn't been born. But I'll tell you, just think about it. Your life is important to God's plan. And it may be the salvation of a lot of people. Think of Billy Graham. You ever hear of that Billy Graham? And some of you older folks have heard Billy Graham. But think of the millions of people that may never have been saved if Billy Graham had not decided to do what God asked him to do and preach. He preached to millions. And there's a lot like that. Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, millions of people's lives are affected. Southern Baptist Church may not have even existed, not nearly as big as it is today if Billy Graham hadn't heard the call of God. Have you thinking about it? What about your life? What if you don't listen to God? How many lives are going to be affected? I'm planning on going to Burn Island, Scotland, and speak to the church. Somebody told me, who was that told me this morning? Somebody told me that the church that I want to go to, it almost closed down. And I've been praying for them for 30 years now. And the Lord told me, we were there in 2019. It's a Church of Scotland, little church. And we were there, and God spoke to me. He said, I'd been praying for two people in Burn Island. They'd been praying for revival in Burn Island for 29 years when I went over there. And one of them had died, and the other one, his wife had remarried, and they didn't know where she was. And my heart was broken when I heard that, because I knew they were praying for Burn Island. And the Lord had told me to pray for them, And I didn't even know who they were at the time. But we went over there, and we went into that church. They had just coming out. It was on Sunday. They were just coming out of service. And I talked to the pastor. I don't know what they call them, over rectors or something. I don't know. Anyway, I talked to him, and I wanted to tour the church, and he spoke to this older lady and had her stay with us, and she told us all about the history of the church. I had been there before in 2004 and 2002, I think, and 4. I had gone to that little church, and that's where the King James I came with his council. He was coming through on his way to Edinburgh, and Edinburgh is only about 12 miles away, but he fell off his horse. It's all in God's plan, see. God knocked him off his horse, I guess. Got injured. Couldn't go any farther. So he took his counsel and stayed at that little church up on the hill there in Burn Island. And they decided at that meeting to print the Bible, the King James Bible, to translate it to English. And I got to thinking about that Bible. They have it there, one of them there in the church. And that Bible, because of that Bible being printed in English, the gospel has gone around the world. Many people from America have gone with the King James Bible around the world and raised up a lot of missions. But as I thought of it, England, Scotland, Ireland, all of Europe, there's only 1% Christian. And the Bible was translated there. Okay? And they haven't gotten the gospel like we have. And so I felt like God wants me to go back and speak in that church and give them a message, because He wants to make them the light of Europe come out of that little church. And I know that the devil's trying to close that little church. And somebody just told me this morning that it was being closed down, and a guy came through and saved it, and he's still there. Two other churches have already closed down in the town. It was you, wasn't it? Yes. Okay. You were telling me. I thought you better shut. Did I get it right? Anyway, pray for that, will you? I want to see the gospel go to Europe before Jesus comes. You know, there's going to be a great revival. And so, if we obey God when He tells us to do something, something happens. It happens. And if we don't do it, nothing happens but disaster. And so, there may be a lot of souls to be saved because of that. So pray for that, will you? Pray for, I'm hoping I can go this next September. And we'll see. You know, my grandchildren, they paid for us to go over in 2019. My wife and I, for our anniversary, and our anniversary is in September, so I think we'll celebrate another anniversary over there if we can. So, and the grandchildren want to go again. So, pray for us, will you? And if God tells you to do something, do it. If He tells you to go be a missionary, go be a missionary, because there could be a lot of people get saved because you went to be a missionary. And if you don't go, a lot of people, you know, we probably get a reward for those people we've won, but we also get another reward for those that we didn't, probably. And I wouldn't want that reward. Amen? So let's use the authority we have. The church is the most powerful force on earth. I wrote a book about that. You can go on Amazon. Look it up. The Church United, the most powerful force on earth. Okay. That was my commercial. Bless you. Is there anybody that, you know, for a quiz here, anybody have a question about anything? About anything? Careful, he can answer if I can't. No, good boy. I can't get any questions out of this bunch. All right. Bless you.